Well, good morning. Welcome to Church Online, and thanks for taking the time to listen in today. What we're doing is we're continuing to put together the Northern News, and I really want to encourage you to read that, to read it through, to be up to date with what's going on in the lives of your church family, and to be able to pray for one another. So the Northern News is a vital source of communication at this time. It's been great to hear through many of you this week, as I've rung around to various ones, how you're making calls to one another, making those phone calls and touching base with one another. I've really been encouraged by that. I trust that this week's message will also be encouraging to you. These are indeed unprecedented times, and this isn't the way that we'd like to do church. Church, though, is the gathering of God's people together, and we're gathering together. I trust that you'll know that you are gathering together, even in this medium, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be comforted. And so, in a few moments, we're going to share communion together. I'd encourage you to perhaps go and get those communion emblems right now. I'll continue to just chat for a little while whilst you go and do that. But also grab your Bible. We're going to share together in God's Word. We're going to, in a sense, have church together in this medium. But we gather to exalt our God, to praise Him. We gather to be reminded that we are worshipping together and praising our God, giving Him thanksgiving for all that He's done for us. But we also want you to be reminded to give of your tithes and offerings. We don't want you to forget about that, because the finances of the church continue on, but we need to continue to support those missions that we support financially and in prayer. So please don't forsake the giving of your tithes and offerings. So I trust you're getting those communion elements together. This is a time that we share together, and in these mediums, as it's coming to you, you may or may not be able to pause this. So make sure from now on, in the weeks to come, that you've got your communion elements together, you've got your Bible with you, that we can share together in this way in worship. And we'll do that very shortly. So before we study the Word of God together, can I lead us in a time of remembrance around the Lord's table? We'll be remembering Jesus' sacrifice, His death on the cross. Later on, we're going to be looking at selected verses from Exodus 16. But verse 10 says that while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. And so while they were in the desert, they looked further out into the desert. There was the glory of the Lord appearing to them in the cloud. Now, we don't know what was happening in the clouds, but whatever it was, they understood it to be the glory of God. Now, the Apostle Paul, he understood the glory of God, but he understood it in a different way, and he wrote about that in Galatians 6:14. As for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. One wonders, what glory is there in the cross? It was an instrument of torture and of shame. And yet for us, as we look toward the hill of Calvary, just as the Hebrew people looked out to the desert, as we look to the hill of Calvary, we see the cross upon which Jesus died. He died to take the penalty of our sin. And so through faith in Him, we know forgiveness for sin. But as we also look toward the grave that lays empty, we therefore know that He is risen from the dead. He's risen indeed, and we know that we too will live with Him into eternity. And so our slate has been wiped clean, Our God remembers our sin no more. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west. And so in these emblems before us this morning, we're reminded of the glory of the cross, reminded of the wonder of the empty tomb. For Jesus willingly died to take the penalty due for our sin. Just before we share in these emblems, would you pray with me? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the glory of the cross. It is glorious indeed. You have done glorious things for us through the death of your Son Jesus. And we too, like Paul, glory in the cross, because we know forgiveness for our sin. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. And Father, as we take these emblems now, we do so in gratitude. The bread does remind us that Jesus' body was broken on the cross. His blood was freely given for us. And so we give you praise, we give you thanks as we take of these emblems now, as we pray in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just take a moment to share in those emblems now. And so now we're going to look into God's word. At the beginning of this year, we were led by the Lord to commence a sermon series from the book of Exodus. And I can't believe how good our God is. You know, in recent weeks, we've considered the plagues that came upon Egypt. Who would have predicted that a plague, the coronavirus, would spread around the world? The Hebrew people, they longed to be set free from captivity and they complained under the weight of slavery. People all around the world at the moment complain because of the captivity that we find ourselves in due to this plague. There's so many restrictions upon us. And as the Hebrew people began their journey into the wilderness, they faced the unknown and certain challenges to their own provisions. We too face the unknown. How long will we be in this desert? How will our needs be met? And so I want to invite you to open God's word to Exodus 16. And we're going to be reading from verses 6 to 10. From verse 6. So Moses said to Aaron, and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. So let's recap just a little bit. The Hebrew people, they'd now been out in the desert wandering around for just 1 month. It's only been 4 weeks since the Passover and that fateful night when Pharaoh sent them packing. And they took off. And a few days later, they found themselves being set upon by the Egyptian army. They were corralled into a dead end, stuck between the Red Sea and the marauding Egyptian army. Well, the Lord opened up the Red Sea and they crossed over to the other side on dry ground. But there they were struck with fear again as their lives were under threat. Imagine the sight of the mighty Egyptian army hot on your heels. And then they watched as the horse and the rider were destroyed, drowned in the sea. They were free. But now they were captive to the desert. They're facing the unknown. How long? How long will my suffering go on in this desert? How will my needs be met? And so from verse 22 in chapter 15, we read that they travelled 3 days into the desert. They came upon a pool of water, but it was too bitter to drink. Naturally, a delegation stormed toward Moses and they grumble and they complain. But naturally too for Moses, where does he turn? He turns to God. He cries out to the Lord and God instructs him as to how to alter the water so that it's drinkable. But not just drinkable, it's sweet. You know, the Lord can make even that which is bitter sweet. He can transform a life. He can transform a heart from bitterness and anger through forgiveness into someone who is pleasant to be around. And God works in the most unusual of ways. Did anyone else think of throwing some wood into the pond? Did Moses know what to do? Well, no. God instructs Moses. And consider Moses himself. If you remember back to the burning bush, Moses declares that he's a man of faltering speech. But consider Moses, once they've crossed the Red Sea, he champions the people into song. He leads them with such eloquence. Cry out to Jesus, and you too may sing your praises of him. You see, the waters of your life might seem quite bitter at the moment. You're in social isolation. You've been forced into captivity, and you don't like it. You may also sense the bitterness of fear. Fear of loss of income, bankruptcy. You might hear of suicides in the coming months. This coronavirus and its consequences may indeed be a very bitter pill to swallow. But can I encourage you that the Lord knows just what is needed to transform this into a sweet experience? Call out, cry upon Jesus, call out to him. He can transform this bitter time into sweet communion with him. Well, from there they move on to a place called Elim. And what an oasis this must have been. It's described as 12 springs of refreshing water and 70 palm trees to provide the shade. There's no complaints here. This is just what desert living is all about. Hanging the hammock between the trees and sipping on coconut juice. Oh, thank you, Moses. We could take a whole lot more of this. There are passages throughout life that are just sublime, just wonderful for us. We'd like all of life to be like that, wouldn't we? But from there, they begin to move toward Mount Sinai, which is, well, it's on the way to the promised land. But continuing on and camping in the middle of nowhere, they once again bring their complaints to Moses. From the superb and the sublime to depths of despair. We see this in verse 3. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you've brought us out here into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. They're not too happy, not too happy at all. In a sense, they're saying, we'd have preferred to have died in Egypt, just as their firstborn did, rather than waste away out here in the desert. At least we had plenty of meat and bread to eat. Well, sure, they had their herds with them, but they wouldn't last forever. And in the desert, you can't grow a cereal crop to make your bread. So albeit that they're only a month in, they're only 4 weeks into this journey, they can already see the writing on the wall. Things aren't going to end well. Moses, fix it. Moses, we want you to fix the problem. Now, albeit that we're only a short space into our COVID-19 journey, some folk are fearing the worst. And the call, it seems, right around Australia seems to be, ScoMo, fix it. I'm sure that, like Moses, he has spent many hours in prayer seeking the Lord as he tries to lead our nation through this most difficult time. And so are we praying? Are we praying for Scott Morrison and the government for wisdom as they coordinate our response? Are we praying for our health professionals that they may stay well and have insight into effective treatment? Are we praying for our scientists to be led into a vaccine or a cure? Are we praying? And so what does the Lord do? Well, it seems that he just can't help himself. The Lord comes through once again. He displays his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering. We probably wouldn't treat the Hebrew people the same way, but he promises that he will provide both meat and bread. The Hebrew people, they're whinging, they're complaining. The Lord has already done so much for them, and yet they still complain. But be aware, sometimes we're just like the Hebrew people. God has done so much for us, and yet we're liable to complain. Yet once again, God has been gracious to us and provided all that we need and beyond. What a gracious God we have. What a merciful God we serve. Oh, forgive us, Lord, for our complaints against you. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of trust in you. But Moses' response to the people is most telling. He once again highlights the faithfulness of God, but he also raises a question concerning their lack of a personal relationship with God. You see, they complain for two reasons. Firstly, because they remember the good times of the past. As time goes by, we tend to see the past through rose-coloured glasses. Remember the good old days? Although only a month has passed, the Hebrew people could remember and they began to savour the good old days in Egypt. They thought about the security, the food, the shelter, the clothing that they had back in Egypt. But they were so quickly forgetting the afflictions of slavery and how they cried out in desperation for freedom. Alexander McLaren wrote, "People don't know how happy they are until they cease to be so." I wonder how true that is for you and I. We don't know how happy we are until we're not. Well, he went on to say that we tend to focus on the present miseries whilst at the same time emphasise the blessings of the past. The result of that is a rising discontent. We're not happy with the present and we think the past was far better than it really was. But secondly, the main obstacle for the Hebrew people was that they didn't have a personal relationship with God. Moses was their go-to. Moses was their mediator. They'd lived in Egypt and they'd taken on the worship of their Egyptian gods, dead gods, false gods. And they understood Moses was the mediator between them and Yahweh. They hadn't yet come to know God as their own personal God. This would have been a foreign concept to them indeed. And hence Moses' response in verses 7 and 8. "Who are we?" He's talking about himself and Aaron. "Who are we that you should grumble against us? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." And so Moses is pointing the people to God. He's not just trying to deflect their complaints away from himself, but for them to begin to realise that they can go directly to God and bring their concerns to him. And so are you bringing your concerns to God at the moment? Or are you stuck in discontent? Do you tend to remember the past through rose-coloured glasses, forgetting that the troubles and the dissatisfaction that you experienced back then, and forgetting how God carried you through those struggles? It's easy to look back with rose-coloured glasses and forget the struggles and the difficulties that we were going through. But like the Hebrew people too, during this time of isolation, for some Christians, our separation from one another, our inability to worship together, may test our personal faith relationship with God. Some folk depend upon getting together for their spiritual sustenance. Some folk will battle to spend time with God alone. But that's not how it's meant to be. God wants a personal relationship with each one of us that can stand on its own. So I want to encourage you as you spend time alone with God. He will meet with you. It can be a sweet experience. But when the struggles come, when the mountains loom in front of us and we wonder how we're going to cope, when fear takes hold, when we lose our job, when we get cancer and we're facing the unknown, turn to God first. And then you might look to your Moses and to one another, because we're not meant to do life on our own, but always seek God first. The Hebrew people, they were becoming increasingly discontent. And discontentment perverts our perspective. It's easy to be discontent in a time like this that we're facing. We're forced into social distancing and being isolated from one another. And our discontent can pervert our perspective. Fear of the unknown and fear of financial ruin can lead to an increasing restlessness. But once again, the answer is in seeking God first and to praise him. And you might say, praise him? Praise him in a time like this? Yes. can I take you to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The result? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He then says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. For whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me will put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." You see, praising God, praise is being thankful for the good things. It's to express our approval and gratitude, our admiration, our respect. It is as we look for that which is good and right and praiseworthy that we're filled with peace in the midst of the most troubling circumstances. We therefore need not be anxious about anything, but rather bring our requests to God from an attitude of thanksgiving and of faith that he will work all things together for good, so that we might be transformed into the image of his Son. You see, the last verse of our reading from Exodus says that as they looked toward the desert, there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. They understood God to be in that cloud. They were in the desert, but God was with them. Whatever we're facing in life right now, God is with us. God is with you. The glory of God is with you. The power of God is with you. The mighty hand of God is with you. The provision, the protection of God is with you. The peace of God is with you. Amen. I wonder, can you look for that which is good and right and praiseworthy? Can you see God with you, even in the midst of the struggles that we face today? I trust you can. Amen. Now, if you'd like to chat about anything that may have been raised for you today, please contact me through our church office. But for every one of you right now, may the God of peace, may he bless you and direct you, may he keep you, may he guard your heart through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.